Next, Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 2.5 hours of Civil Rights for the Poor, Stuff on the Streets, and our special guest, the V-Man. Yes, he's heading for court, and he's heading into your radio. Stay tuned. Next 2.5 hours. He won't be there the whole time, but we'll have him
at some point. When the plant lays me off for a hard luck streak, I make a job at a club, and I'm dancing for a week. It's the way to make a living, but the kids gotta eat, and I always seem to make my own way. You better take me as you find me. Just cause you find me don't mean you can't take me. If you can't take the way you find me, you can just be me alone. I put a lot of living behind me. Seen some hard times, they didn't break me. You better take me as you find me. Building my boy and me a home. Driving home from the swing ship, I need a vacation. Cop pulls me over, one more aggravation. Let me see your license and registration. Pull up behind that building over there. He sticks his head in the window, starts making moves on me. Jump back, Jack. You know you don't scare me. I'd love to tell your story to some jury. Leave them in the dust, make my weary way home. You better take me as you find me. Just cause you find me don't mean you can't take me. If you can't take the way you find me, buddy, better leave me alone. I put a lot of living behind me. Seen some hard times, they didn't break me. You better take me as you find me. Building my boy and me a home. My pay stays the same, but my grocery bill's rising. Getting mighty weary of this free enterprise. Put the notion in my head, do a little organizing. So I start talking union to the people at the plant. The foreman says, sister, you're drawing your pay here. We ain't subsidizing no normal way here. I'll keep talking union as long as I stay here. I think we're gonna see it someday.
Yes, indeed. And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, here in beautiful, beautiful Santa Cruz. Not raining today, but winter is coming in, and El Nino should be making its frosty way down, or its weird way down, I guess. I'm Bathrop Spear, Robert Norse, and twice a week, if you tune to this station, you'll get a show on civil rights for the homeless, folks on the street, just general civil rights for folks dealing with police and poverty issues. This show runs from 11 to 1:30, and on Thursdays we run from 6 in the evening to 8 in the evening. But today, we have two firsts here. For the first time, I have as my guest the Vicious Vinny, or the V-Man as he's known, one of Free Radio's stalwarts. Actually, when Free Radio went into eclipse, he was one of the few people who continued to fight on, work on. A lot of the responsibility for all the dreck you hear on the air now is his fault. So if you don't like this show, you can blame him. The second thing is that for the first time for at least on my show, and those of you who have been tuning into the radio know that it's been on for several days, but we have a phone line. Yes, our call-in capacity is back. So if you want to call in and be a part of this dialogue or just do your own monologue, heck, as long as I can tolerate it, you can give us a call, and the phone line is 423-5361, 423-5361. And it might be a little rocky today because this is my first time working with the new phone line, but I have this expert in the studio who's not only been battling the police in order to get a little free radio out on the streets, by the which I mean asserting his basic First Amendment rights and trying to get information about free radio out to you, and the police have made it a battle because when he puts up the free radio stand at Cathcart and Pacific, police come around and essentially attempt to eliminate that stand from the area through different subterfuges. At least it's happened twice, and Vinny faces two tickets in court. Let me introduce you to my guest. Sign in, Vinny.
All right, yo, ho, ho. It's the V-Man here. Yeah, like Robert was talking about, I've been harassed lately. Well, not actually, this happened about 2 months ago in September. was tabling on a beautiful Sunday afternoon downtown for quite a while, being very successful. We've got T-shirts now for Free Radio, and so we're out there trying to raise some money for some of this new equipment, like the phone line that we now have and the new mixing board that, you know, makes us sound a lot better. So, you know, I'm just out there trying to spread the word that we're back on the air and that we're not going anywhere. Selling, you know, not even selling anything, just, you know, asking for donations, people that, you know, have extra, a little bit of extra money, they can throw it in the bucket. If they want to get a T-shirt, you know, it's free with a suggested donation of $5. So there we were, having a good old time for quite a while. Officers drove by numerous times, and, you know, they gave us the obligatory nod, you know, like, oh, hi, you guys, oh, okay. And so eventually, at some point, like hours into it, everybody that was hanging out at the table sort of, like, went about their own thing, and I was stuck alone, easy prey for Officer LeFevre, and he approached me with his ticket book in hand, and so I got, you know, I was like, oh, here we go, and he proceeded to write me a ticket for a display of merchandise. No, sorry, excuse me, a non-commercial display stand over 6 feet tall. And so we, you know, we talked about it a little bit, and I asked him what law that was under, and he provided the municipal code section 5.43, I think. I'm not sure what subsection, but and he wrote me the ticket, and I asked him what would happen if I refused to sign the ticket. And he says, well, you'll be handcuffed and taken to the police station, and then you'll be talked to by a superior officer and urged to sign the ticket, or you'll spend the night in jail. So under that advice, I decided to write the words "fuck you" in the red box, at which point I was handcuffed and taken to the police station and given a good tongue lashing by Sergeant Watson. Now, I eventually did sign a new ticket that they wrote, because I was under the assumption that failure to sign a ticket was a similar charge to resisting arrest, and I'm on probation for that very offense. So I didn't want to fucking have to spend 60-90 days in jail for just writing "fuck you."
Let me interrupt you for a minute. A couple things I want to discuss, like the fact that the stand that you had been at, the table, was essentially a way of letting the public know about the existence of Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is of course the station you're listening to right now, and of knowing the schedule, learning about its history, and being able to support it through donations of money for T-shirts, things of that sort, and possibly even to join in and become a part of Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Exactly.
In a sense, not only are you engaging in a free speech activity, which any person has a right to do on the street in terms of just speaking freely about a cause or an issue, you are a channel of free speech in this community, because free radio isn't just a name, it's a reality on the air, and it allows and promotes folks to come on with kinds of messages that are not allowed on other radio stations, that you can't get out through the media because you can't be printed, your letters don't get printed, or you just simply don't have that kind of access. You used to say that freedom of speech, freedom of the press, is a fine thing in America for anyone who owns a press. How long had you been tabling in the few months prior to this ticket happened, what, in August or September?
September 9th, I think, yeah.
September 9th?
Uh-huh.
How long had you been tabling before? How many times had you been out there? Was this some sort of rare thing? Were you sort of throwing up some bizarre table that was blocking the sidewalk, and you were blocking the view of some merchant's window or something?
No, no. In fact, we used to table in front of the new building that's going up at SoCal and Pacific for years. I've been tabling with Free Radio for a long time, not every weekend, but on a pretty regular basis. This particular year, no, not as often, maybe as 1996, but, you know, we try and get out there at least once a month on the weekends to table. And this is nothing new to the police. They've had to deal with this before. Anytime that they stop by, you know, they always get into some sort of dialogue with the police, with us. And I've actually been harassed before by Officer Headley and ticketed while tabling for having my bicycle parked against the fence along SoCal and Pacific in the planter box. And I fought that one in court and won. It got, you know, thrown out because the charge that he cited me for was planter abuse, and there was no evidence that I abused any plants in any way according to the law, so I was found not guilty.
I should point out, let me interrupt you just for a minute, that the planters have been a key kind of excuse that police have used, not just after the downtown ordinances were passed in 1994, making sitting down on the sidewalk illegal and then sitting down on small planters illegal, but for years when there actually was a garden mall and it was a wandering kind of brick-laden thing where a lot of people came out and sat on planters during their lunchtime, police would harass people who were, should we say, raggedly dressed, minorities, folks who were homeless and poor, and other folks who'd come out of stores, and actually many people just would eat their lunches sitting down these brick planters that lined the mall, were left alone. So for those who don't know, it's not like Vinny here is, you know, there's some real legal issue involved. The real issue is, how do we get the police to stop harassing groups like Free Radio, groups like, well, Food Not Bombs is no longer being harassed because it, in essence, has been moved out of the downtown back into the town clock, which is, I guess, far enough away for the merchants to stop harassing it to some extent. But ordinary people on the mall, it should be noted, and you may have heard David Silva, Green Party candidate, Free Radio commentator on my show, and city council candidate who's also suing the city for police abuse. He does a regular tabling for the Green Party down on the Garden Mall, or I guess we might call it the former Garden Mall, on Pacific Avenue. And he has actually gotten from the police the word that they only go after the bad tables, the bad guys, that he's okay to table. It's okay for him to sell shirts and buttons or ask for donations. The idea of sell and ask for donations has always been one of those kind of, you know, iffy things. Nobody really makes a living selling anything out there. Political groups try to get money by selling shirts and buttons, but that's not like some major business. And they do so sometimes using the word donation, sometimes not. When I ran the so-called homeless table back in the late 80s, I sold the Street Shit Sheet, my homeless newspaper that put out, I'm not sure, 155 now. It hasn't come out for a while. And when police tried to confiscate it, demanding I have a business license, I told them, please do so. We'll take it to court. They never did. They threatened to. Now, apparently, that's a real threat. I mean, I had to think twice before saying that. If I were going to lose hundreds of dollars worth of T-shirts, as perhaps you would have been, Vinny, then I might not have done it. So anyway, you were saying, in this particular, this first ticket you got, you were told that this display was larger than 6 feet. Now, of course, this is an ordinance that came in 1994, mainly because of homeless demonstrations downtown, where there were some, actually there were three different displays for a total period of 3 weeks over a period of 4 years that were larger than 6 feet tall. There was a box that a guy lived in to dramatize the infamous sleeping ban, which we still have with us, which we're going to be fighting on the ballot, I hope, next November. But because of this, the merchants rammed through this special interest legislation, which said you can't have a display more than 6 feet tall in the mall. I've never heard, of course, this being used against merchants who have large displays, and we know that city council members who tear down posters, like Michael Hernandez, get positive write-ups in the Sentinel. So there's clearly a differential process happening here. Tell us a bit more about what happened and what you think the relevant issues are here in this first ticket.
In particular, Officer LeFevre seems to have it out for Free Radio Santa Cruz, mainly because of one programmer doing a show one late night and having some very strong opinions about that particular officer. So strong, in fact, that I don't know, you probably heard the tape, but obviously Officer LeFevre did, because as I was being hauled to the police station, he mentioned something about that particular show and how he enjoyed it. And it was a guy basically on the mic singing a song about Officer LeFevre, and it was very homoerotic, to say the least. And I think he may have been a little bit offended. So I think this whole attack was very personally motivated for Officer LeFevre, and therefore he used the color of authority to give me a ticket and, you know, try and shut the table down, try and stop our progress, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's one of the relevant issues. Another relevant issue is that, yeah, Free Radio does cover a lot of what the police tends to, how they behave downtown, how they treat people. And we don't give them positive media attention because, you know, we call it like we see it, you know. And if a cop does something right, you know, maybe somebody will come in here and say, you know, well, this cop did something right. But for the most part, the cops downtown only use these silly ordinances to exactly do that, harass homeless people. And I think it's a good point to mention, Robert was talking about this, the sitting law. If you walk downtown right now and you go by Zachary's restaurant, you will see everybody that is waiting for a table blocking the sidewalk, sitting on planter boxes. And if you call the police and say, I want this person cited, they won't do it. You know why? Because those people are going to go spend money in a business. And if a couple of so-called undesirables, you know, so-called riffraff, were to do that same thing maybe a block and a half away, you wouldn't even have to call the police. The police will find them and ticket them or use it to, you know, check them for warrants and find out if they have any warrants. And if they do, they're going to jail. And that's one of the main issues, I think, with me getting a ticket, is that we are out on the air definitely calling the police like we see it. You know, we're, like I said, we don't give them positive light, basically. And I think that that was very personally motivated for Officer Lefebvre.
Yeah, I, interestingly enough, you bring up the name of Officer Lefebvre. About a year ago, we had the two other officers Over and Eveleth, who had become kind of the bad boys of the mall through giving all kinds of harassment tickets, which many of which got thrown out, some of which didn't. Again, the point being to cattle herd people, and I use that phrase not as a sort of a kind of colorful slander, but the actual words used by Sergeant Hennig to the Downtown Association in 1990 when he described how he treated homeless people downtown in order to keep them moving. So now we had, I guess it was this summer, we had Officer Lefebvre and his companion, was it Officer Seeley? Seeley the Younger, we might say, not Sergeant Seeley, the eminence Sergeant Seeley, but Officer Seeley. I myself was so concerned about Officer Lefebvre because I'd gotten so many reports through SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, which is a kind of a police monitoring group. If you're interested in contacting SPAN, get your pencil out and I'll give you a phone number soon, that I put out a survey. Actually, I put out a form for people to fill out if they had had problems specifically with Officer Lefebvre, and I distributed this form. We actually got numerous people to come to a police review board meeting for the first time in its history. Well, for the first time anyway in many months. Police review board, by the way, meets tomorrow, for those of you who want to check them out, and I'll be talking more about that after this interview. The phone number, by the way, if you want to call in to Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's a new number, is 423-5361. Again, 423-5361. You can be on the air to join this discussion. Perhaps you've had some problems with police downtown. Perhaps you feel police are being unfairly maligned here and that they should be, you know, given some defense. Feel free to, or perhaps you have some other issue related to this that you want to bring up for the listeners to hear. Do call in at 423-5361 if you'd like. Also, if you have interest in, again, this police monitoring group, Stop Police Abuse Now, you can reach them at 475-2012. That's 475-2012 if you want to make contact with SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. And finally, if you want to come to the Citizens Police Review Board meeting, which is happening tomorrow, and there is an opportunity during that review board, there had been an opportunity to make up to half an hour's worth of oral comment. I'm not sure if they're going to cut it back to 3 minutes. They tried that last month, and I ignored them and went on, continued to speak because I felt it was important and I had issues I'd brought, and it was their previous tradition to have a long oral communications period. But there is an oral communications period. There is a once-monthly police review board meeting, and that is 5:30 Monday. It's the second Monday of every month, and next Monday, tomorrow, is the second Monday, and that's at City Hall, right across from the Public Library, 5:30 in the afternoon, Monday. Come and make your concerns known if you've been harassed by the police. Incidentally, if you file a complaint with the police, I know very few have, or with the Police Review Board, and all such complaints should eventually reach the Police Review Board, which is supposedly made up of citizens who oversee this, but actually have little power. You might want to make that complaint public at this hearing, because otherwise the police officer's name remains hidden away from the public, and even if you go into the police review board, they won't give you the name if you look at the files. So unless you make it public on their records at a public meeting, it remains secret, which is wrong, because police officers have to be responsible, and they are best made responsible by having complaints made public and publicly aired. And if the individuals are in error or malicious, and very few are in this situation that I've seen, because it takes a lot of courage to file these complaints, then that comes out through the public dialogue. Again, the phone number here is 423-5361. You might want to give us a try and join this discussion. I'm talking to Vinny, Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcaster, civil rights activist on the streets, and just general all-around bad guy here. So you got this first ticket, and it's coming up for, it's an infraction, of course, it's only a $162 fine at maximum, but that's a lot of money for you and me, and that's it's also a form of fear and humiliation that all of us will have to confront potentially at any point from Officer Lefebvre. For instance, I myself am going to arraignment this week.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And you'll never guess who gave me a ticket.
Yes. Officer Lefebvre?
It was Officer Lefebvre, yes. Officer Lefebvre gave me a ticket when I was doing a cop watch,
wow.
Interestingly enough. And, of course, I've discussed this on the air for those regular listeners who remember. I was leaning against a green garbage can about 20 feet from where you got a ticket, although you got your ticket, I guess, on a different day. And what I was observing was that the officer was cross-examining a young person. And he didn't like the fact that I was cop-watching. I think that was his motivation. Or perhaps he just felt he wanted to make sure that I wasn't hurting the trash can, which, you know, it's a steel cylinder. One would think it could defend itself, but perhaps not. And I was leaning against it. He said, "You can't lean against that trash can." I said, "Well, as far as I know, it's legal to do that. Do you have an ordinance?" And he whipped out his code book, as apparently he did for Vinny, looked for an ordinance, couldn't find one. He actually found the ordinance, he thought, and he read it aloud. It said, "Sit, stand, or lie on," which is not leaning. I continued to lean. He said, "Well, I'm giving you a ticket anyway." So, Officer Lefebvre is a man who, he's pretty single-minded when he gets an idea in his head. And the question is, do you want that kind of an individual with a badge and a gun and the authority to bring people to court and put people in jail? That's really, I guess, the question that the community has to answer and the police department has to answer. But let's go back to your second ticket, Vinny. You were with Free Radio Santa Cruz, not content with giving you with this one ticket. I guess that you got a second ticket from a different officer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're talking about the same police force. We're talking about your table in the same place, which was at Cathcart and Pacific, which has now, of course, become a kind of a construction zone. Wait, we have an incoming phone call. I'm going to have to take some coaching from Vinny on how to do this. You want to show me how to do it, Vinny?
Free Radio Santa Cruz, do you want to be on the air? Okay, hold on.
Okay, you're on.
Yeah, I actually just had a question about law that maybe you can answer for me. Last week I was walking down Pacific Garden Mall, and I was watching an arrest happen where the officer was handcuffing a whatever street kid-looking character. And he was being rather aggressive with this person. I was walking with Gary, who's in a wheelchair, and I asked him what the charges were. And he very strongly said, "None of your business. It's none of your concern."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, I have a right to ask." And he said, "Well, I have a right to tell you, none of your business."
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, what are the laws, or as a citizen, as someone interested in cop watch, what do I have a right to insist knowing about a situation that I'm not involved in?
Sure. I appreciate your calling in. You're the first caller that we have, so I want to thank you particularly. And I think that it really is important that people like yourself stop and observe what is going on with police officers. In answer to your question, the police officer, in a sense, is technically correct. He can claim that he is protecting the privacy rights of the person being arrested by not getting into the details of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
However, the person to address is the arrested person. This is what I frequently do. When I see someone being arrested, I say, "What are you being arrested for?" in a loud voice. "What are you being arrested for?" And if the person is hostile or, you know, or bashful and doesn't want to get involved, they will make it clear to you. Then what I do, because I regard this as a public issue, it isn't really between the police officer and the individual. If the police officer is engaging in a pattern of harassment, I make comments to the surrounding public about what goes on. This may not be your style. What I do is, I for example, a person is being arrested for sitting on the sidewalk or given a ticket, I will start broadcasting, so to speak, in a loud voice. I will address the passersby. Here are your taxpayer dollars at work. Here's a police officer spending our money on arresting someone, a poor person, for sitting on the sidewalk. Now, the key thing here is really to make up your own mind, I think. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of adopt your own style and whatever suits you best, whatever you feel most comfortable with, because everybody has their own way. But the police officer can technically say, I don't have to tell you anything. And that's true.
And so an exchange between me and the arrestee would be completely legal. There's nothing that the officer could do to deny that person from speaking with me directly.
Yes, although you got to be careful that, I mean, he can always claim you're interfering with an arrest. That's what they will warn you. You're interfering with an arrest, step back, shut up, go away. But the reality is, one, you have a right to observe the arrest. Two, provided you're not, continuously and obviously interfering with the arrest, you have a right to direct an inquiry at the person. Do you need some help, sir? Would you like to give me your name and number? Do you need some help at the station? You have a right to make such inquiries, particularly if you make them in a loud, kind of polite tone. I don't think that, I mean, I do anyway, and I've never been arrested for anything of that sort, although police frequently leave me alone on these kinds of issues.
Okay, that's essentially what I wanted to know.
There are a couple other things that I've talked about in the past, which I welcome you to kind of stay tuned and listen to. Police officers regularly abuse their powers on downtown, and you're quite right to be skeptical about what he said. The fact that he's technically, right by saying that he doesn't have to respond to you. It's also true, for instance, that you can go down and get a copy of the police report, and that is one of your legal rights. They may charge you, for it, but you have the right to do that. The key thing is address yourself to the person being arrested. And often the person being arrested will be afraid to talk to you because people feel ashamed and blame themselves when they're being arrested.
Yeah.
Rather than understanding that this is a process that affects all of us, that there's a general repression going on.
Yeah, well, it seemed to me that in that incident, there was a group of people that appeared to be